You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A legendary figure in Sacramento Kings history has passed away. Former head coach and basketball Hall of Famer Rick Adelman died this week at the age of 79. He was, without question, the most successful coach in Kings history, racking up 395 wins, a franchise record, and taking the teams to the playoffs all 8 seasons with the team, including a painful and controversial Game 6 loss in the 2002 Western Conference against the Lakers that sparks ire from longtime Kings fans to this very day. But in the days following word of his passing, there have been beloved reaction off the court, remembering a no-drama players coach and a private family man. James Hamm is a Kings insider for ESPN 1320 and host of Locked on Kings podcast. Welcome to Insight.
Thanks for having me, Vicky.
So what has stood out to you about the reaction following his death in those immediate kind of hours and days? Are there common themes or memories that stand out to you?
Yeah, to me, I think the common theme that I've seen is just the family that Rick Adelman was able to create, not just his own family where, you know, he was married to his wife, Mary Kay, for 56 years. And, you know, they have 6 kids and 12 grandkids, but the family that he created here in Sacramento. And I still see it. I've covered the team. This will be my 17th season. And I'm just surrounded by the memories of those teams. It's Doug Christie as the head coach. Vlade Divac was former GM, assistant GM, Peja Stojakovic. Bobby Jackson is still on the coaching staff. And, you know, Mike Bibby just came back to Sacramento as a Sac State head coach. Scott Pollard's been around a ton. Brad Miller's been around a ton. And what you get from those guys is just this love of what was created during that magical time, that 1998 to 2006 window, and how much Rick Adelman meant to those guys as sort of a mentor, a coach, again, a family man, and setting an example for all of them. And the fact that so many of those players are still here in Sacramento, still around the community, is really a lot about that vibe that they created as players and as a team.
Yeah, his fingerprints and DNA are still very much a part of not only the Sacramento Kings, but Sacramento and Sacramento sports. But for people who aren't as familiar with the history of the Kings, how did Coach Adelman first arrive in Sacramento? What was his introduction like to the capital city?
Yeah, so during the 1998 lockout, the Kings basically revitalized everything. They were sold to the Maloofs during right around that period, but also Jeff Petrie, who had taken over the team, I think, in 1994 and started to create a winner, had fallen on hard times. And during the lockout, they were able to do a complete revamp of the entire team. They traded Mitch Richmond for Chris Webber. They had drafted Jason Williams. They talked Peja Stojakovic into coming over from Europe after being drafted in 1996. And then the sort of the cherry on top of everything was that they had a little bit of free agent money, and they went out and they signed Vlade Divac to a long-term deal. And it just tied everything together. Rick Adelman and Jeff Petrie, again, the president and basketball ops or general manager of the Kings at the time, they had played together in the early 70s as teammates with the Portland Trailblazers. They had remained close. Then with in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, they both worked in Portland with the Trailblazers. Rick Adelman had taken over that team and led them to the Western Conference Finals twice. He was just the right guy at the right time for a team that was looking for a captain, for someone to deliver that team and, you know, really give them an identity. And that's what I think he brought, just an absolute offensive genius. You know, you pair him with Jeff Petrie, who, again, they just had such a close relationship. But they also, at that time, they brought in Pete Carril, who had coached at Princeton for 50 years and was really close with Jeff Petrie. And they just created this incredible vibe that, again, became the greatest show on court. But realistically, the sort of one of the godfather teams to everything that you see now, the passing, the ball movement, the big guys being able to pass and shoot. We see remnants of that team all over the NBA at this point.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you have coaches that are these larger-than-life personalities. He didn't really seem like that. I mean, obviously, he made a lot of great decisions, but what was his style like as coach?
Well, I mean, they did run the Princeton-style offense where they had two bigs passing all over the place with Chris Webber, Webber and Vlade Divac. Also, Brad Miller when they brought back when Chris Webber had been injured. But I think really he's a player's coach. You said it in the opening. He was a player's coach, and he wasn't super close with the media. And that's something that every coach is different. Unfortunately, since that point, we filtered through so many head coaches. You know, he coached for 8 straight years in Sacramento, and I think since then we're on 13 coaches, which is just absolutely incredible over a 20-year period. Me personally, I'm on my 10th head coach that I've covered, and it's like that constant instability is something that just is foreign to that group of players. They were so used to having Jeff and of course Rick running everything. And again, he did have personal relationships with a couple of journalists that he felt comfortable with. Marty McNeil, former Sacramento Bee legend, who unfortunately has passed away, was super close with Rick. But he kept everything else tight to the vest. And I think he came across as a bit of a curmudgeon when it came to the media. But that just wasn't his thing. And that's okay. Because every coach is different. Every coach handles things differently. And you got to get used to it as a reporter when you're sitting there and like, all right, is this guy going to give me the starting lineup before the game? Or am I going to have to wait until 15 minutes before the game to get the actual starting lineup? Every coach has a different way that they handle their business. And Rick's was just very specific. He wasn't about the media. He was very much about the team and his family and sort of the culture that they were building behind the scenes.
In your podcast episode this week, you called him the greatest next man up coach. So for those of us who aren't as knowledgeable about the world of sports, what does that mean?
Yeah, so basically, you know, when you have injuries in the NBA, there are a lot of teams that just crumble, and you see it all the time. But I thought the way that Rick handled his business and had players step up in different ways when players did get injured is something that is remarkable. I don't think I've ever seen another coach that was able to handle injuries like he did. I think it's May 8th, 2003. I was sitting in a hospital room while my wife had just given birth to our first son. I'm watching a 13-inch television in the corner of the room, one of those old VCR television combos. And I watched Chris Webber blow out his knee. And we didn't know it at the time, but that really was the end of that dynasty. And the next season, the Kings were the best, had the best record in the NBA. They went out and they made a trade for Brad Miller, and they just kept going. And they were so incredibly impressive. And, you know, again, when Bobby Jackson would get hurt, they would have someone step up. When Mike Bibby got hurt, they always had a plan. You know, Peja Stojakovic got hurt. You had Hedo Turkoglu step right in, but it carried on past the Kings. He would go on to coach the Houston Rockets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. In Houston, they had a 22-game win streak, I believe it is. And halfway through that win streak, Yao Ming got hurt, who, of course, like is irreplaceable, a 7'7", like just monstrous man. And then the next game, Tracy McGrady got hurt, and they just kept winning. And it was something that you can go back through the sort of the arc of his career. He dealt with injuries better than any coach I've ever seen. And it wasn't one person stepping up. It was a whole team stepping up. And again, that's part of the family vibe that he built, where you always had each other's back.
I mean, not only were they successful during his era with the Sacramento Kings, I mean, you've also laid it out. They were also just very fun to watch. In an obituary from the New York Times, I mean, they said that the Kings were as much fun to watch as they were prolific. Their home arena, fueled by capacity crowds, the sound of those ringing cowbells, it was one of the most challenging venues for visiting teams. What was it like to be a Kings fan during this era?
Yeah, I've always said this, like walking into a playoff atmosphere in Sacramento is different than anything I've ever been a part of. I've covered NBA finals. I've covered, you know, the Warriors going all the way down. I've gone to Toronto like during the finals. Like I've been all over the place covering playoff basketball. Sacramento is different. Like Arco Arena felt alive. Absolutely. Like you walked in the building and you instantly got goosebumps. You felt the environment. And I think one of the things I would bring up with Rick is not only did he win in Sacramento, but the fact is that no one else has since, and no one really did before. You know, they've made the playoffs 11 times in their 41 years in Sacramento. Eight of those are Rick Adelman's eight-year run. Outside of that, it's just been a lot of struggle. And I think it's just something that he was able to bring to the table, and that that team specifically was able to capture the imagination of not just people here in the United States. Like, if you traveled globally at that time and you told anyone you're on a train in Germany that you're from Sacramento, the first thing out of their mouths would, oh my gosh, the Kings. And that's just what they built here for that very brief window. And just an amazing run, an amazing run.
Despite all of his success with the Kings, his contract wasn't renewed in 2006. What led to him being let go? The owners at that time were the Maloof brothers, right?
Yeah, the Maloofs, to be honest with you, at that point, they had already started having the decline in their business. They'd invested heavily in the Palms. They built a second tower at the Palms, which really sapped a lot of their personal wealth. They'd sold off their beer distributorship. And I think part of this is that they wanted someone out in front that was willing to take some of the heat, that was willing to, you know, sort of bring the organization through this. And actually going right after that, when I started covering the team in 2010, you know, the head coach was Paul Westfall, just an absolute wonderful man. But when the Maloofs tried to relocate the team in 2011, the first attempt to go to Anaheim, they just disappeared and left Paul Westfall standing there holding the bag. And I think that that's what they were kind of looking for with Rick Adelman. The team had started to decline, which most basketball teams do. You go through an age where they're just incredible. And then as players start to age out, injuries happen. You know, you start to have a decline and it's really tough. And so a lot of teams just keep throwing money at marginal players thinking that they can hold on just a little bit longer. I think the Maloofs wanted someone out in front of it more so they didn't have to take the heat. And that just wasn't Rick Adelman's personality or what he had any interest in doing. And so not only was his contract not renewed, but at the same time, I don't think he was up for returning either. And, you know, again, went straight to Houston, had great success there, Minnesota after that.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Locked On Kings podcast host James Hamm about the passing of former Sacramento Kings head coach Rick Adelman. So you mentioned he went on to coach, of course, in the NBA after the Kings. Was it successful? Did that success continue and follow him after he left Sacramento?
Yeah, he had great success with the Rockets, Minnesota, you know, hit and miss, a small community team sort of like the Kings. But he still goes down in like 1,042 wins or whatever it is for his career. He's in the Naismith Hall of Fame. And to be honest with you, the Naismith Hall of Fame announcement when he was brought on stage, it showed you sort of where he was at physically. And so, again, when he did pass, like, someone who's been around and is around a lot of, you know, former players and everything, you knew that something like this was sort of coming, like the decline in health was coming, but still shocking when it did happen. But yeah, he went on to have great success. And, you know, again, the totality of his career is really impressive. The number 10 all-time winningest coach in NBA history. And, you know, the longest stretch he had was in Sacramento, where he just did a wonderful job of creating something where no one else could before and no one else has after.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, the Kings have had a rough go of it ever since he left, cycling through many head coaches over the years, also coming off of a difficult season this year. The current coach, as you just mentioned, Doug Christie, you know, he played in Sacramento under Adelman. Are there any lessons or wisdom from Adelman's leadership that you see in Coach Christie that he is carrying on with the Kings?
Yeah, I have an interesting relationship with Doug Christie. We worked together at NBC for a long time. We would commute to the Bay Area to do road games for a long time. So we sat in the car for 3 or 4 hours each way. We've been friends for a while. We had a podcast together for 3 years. The fingerprints are all there. He remained close with Rick Adelman, even with Pete Carril until his passing. And you definitely feel that not only that Doug feels that he has unfinished business here, which is why he's back trying to win with the Kings, but also that he's constantly trying to build that family that they had. And it's such a difficult thing. An NBA locker room is such a delicate balance, and trying to build something like that, I don't know if you can. I think sometimes it just happens. But that's something that they've been searching for. It's something that Doug searches for. And not only that, but the pride of representing Sacramento. That's something that I think Doug learned from that Adelman era, that the fans in Sacramento are incredible. They deserve something better than what they've been given over the course of the 41 years in Sac. And he wants to deliver that. And he also, when they don't show up at home and they get beat badly at home, he takes it very personally. And again, I think that's remnants from that Adelman era. Mm.
On the flip side, has coaching changed since Adelman's era?
Yeah, I think one of the more interesting things is going back and, you know, when you're pulling up photos and you're going through all the photos that are in photo libraries of Rick Adelman. Number one, that every coach wore suits. That was
That's
the
right.
attire
yeah.
for years and years. I mean, I remember this story about Pat Riley having like a $5,000 a month suit allowance built into his contract as a coach. And now I think, you know, first of all, you have a much bigger coaching staff. When the Kings first moved here, it was they had two assistants. That's it, total. Now you're up to like seven assistants and then an entire development staff. That's just not something even during the 1998 to 2006 run that Adelman had. He had his core group, you know, four guys probably that were all close and, you know, very close-knit group, Elston Turner. But at the same time, I do think coaching has changed. Just visually, you can look at them and they now look like players. They're wearing, you know, jumpsuits basically. And it's just like the whole vibe is different from what it was even, you know, 20 years ago. But that's, I think also the coach, it's tough to coach a bunch of guys who everyone makes more money than the coaches for the most part. And some guys make, you know, 10 times what a coach makes. And it really does put like a different spin on everything, but it's still the same job. You still have to be able to capture the imagination of the players. You got to get them to stay together through hard times. And then you need support from above that lets you ride out the bad times. And that's not something that's happened a lot in Sacramento.
Finally, before I let you go, legendary Kings voice Gary Gerald told Sactown Sports that Adelman's name deserves to be in the Golden One Center rafters. I mean, some people may be surprised it's not there at this moment and hasn't been there for years. Are those conversations taking place? Do you think that that's going to happen?
Man, I hope so. There are conversations that I have had with the organization multiple times, specifically with Gary Gerald. This year, at the very last game of the season, they announced that they're going to rename the media room in Sacramento the Gary Gerald media room, which is one of the greatest things of all time. Just an absolutely spectacular human being who, again, he's in his mid-80s and he still goes on the road and covers every single game. It's absolutely amazing to watch him go. But my point has always been that you need to take care of these people, the people who have meant so much to your franchise, when they're able to enjoy it, when their family is able to enjoy it. And so it's not just a source of pride that they get on their way out the door or, you know, after their passing. It's something that they should be able to enjoy. And Rick Adelman should have been embraced in Sacramento a long time ago. I understand his parting with the Maloofs, you know, didn't go that well. And so it's okay for them to not represent that type of thing where you raise his name to the rafters. But that was a long time ago. You know, Vivek Ranadive has owned the team since 2013. And I really do hope that they take care of it this season, preferably when they play the Denver Nuggets. So Rick Adelman's son, David, who coaches the Nuggets, will get an opportunity to be there for that and sort of, you know, accept whatever it is that they're willing to do. But again, I think it's long overdue. And realistically, it's something that the franchise should have known, you know, something like this was a possibility and taken care of it a long time ago. Again, in 41 years, you've got 11 playoff appearances. Eight of them was one guy. the all-time leader in wins. He's the all-time leader in win percentage at 633. He was absolutely a marvelous coach, and you can't talk about that era of Kings basketball without both Jeff Petrie and Rick Adelman coming up very quickly in the conversation.
James, thanks so much for a trip down memory lane.
No problem. Anytime, Vicky.
James Hamm is a Kings insider for ESPN 1320 and host of the podcast Locked on Kings. We've been talking about former Sacramento Kings head coach Rick Adelman, who passed away this week at the age of 79. Still ahead, America's bees populations are in a steep decline, and according to some researchers, the way we grow our food is to blame. We'll talk to a bee researcher about their new book, Bitter Honey. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.